Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chav Zayin. We're going to begin on with the last word of Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, Itmar. Itmar Eid Zoymin. So as we've learned Baruch Hashem together many times, the concept of Eid Zoymin. Eid Zoymin is a parasha in the Torah. We'll discuss some more Mitzvah Shem Masechta Makis, where if two Eidim come and say testimony that they witnessed an event, and as we'll learn later in our Masechta, every testimony requires that the Eidim say where and when this event occurred. And then two other Eidim come and say, Imanu hi yisem, you were with us, so you couldn't have possibly seen that event. You were elsewhere at that time. And the Torah says that those first Eidim are considered Eidim Zomim. Furthermore, the Torah says, Vasisim loy kasha zomim lasis l'achiv. What these Eidim wanted to happen to the person they testified about should happen to them. And as the Rishonim point out, that even though the Torah doesn't explicitly say that an Eid Zoymim becomes a disqualified Eid, it doesn't need to say it. It's obvious that he's an apostle Eid, because if he's going to get punished, he's certainly a disqualified Eid. Furthermore, as we will learn, there are a lot of technicalities involved if an Eid Zoymim gets the punishment of Kasha Zomim Lasis L'Achiv. For example, the Gemara says, Kasha Zomim V'loi Kasha Osa, that if the person they already testified against was sentenced, then they don't get that punishment. So what would be the halacha if they were declared to be Eidim Zoymim, but the punishment of Eidim Zoymim can't be given to them because the person that they testified against has already been punished? Will they at least be Eidim Zoymim as far as becoming disqualified Eidim? And it's the opinion of most Rishonim that certainly the fact that we can't punish them is a technicality, but they're certainly considered Eidim Zoymim. If Al Gemara is teaching us that Eid Zoymim is possible, becomes a disqualified Eid, these are Eidim Zoymim. Another interesting discussion amongst the Rishonim is that testimony is not only orally, that's the normal testimony, but you could also have testimony signatures. And let's say two Eidim signed on a document, and the document turns out, to other Eidim says, there's no way you could have signed that document on that day in that place. You were with us elsewhere. Will they be considered Eid Zoymim? So Rishonim say as follows, since we know the halacha is that a shtar ma'ucher, a post-dated document, is a kosher document. So the fact that the date on the shtar can't match, that they were, the shtar says that it was written on this date in New York, and this date they were elsewhere, doesn't mean that they're lying, because it could be a post-dated document. What the Rishonim do debate is what would be the halacha if they explicitly write in the document that this is the true date of the document, and this is exactly where we were when the document was signed. And then they turned into being declared Eidim Zoymim. Will they have the same halacha that the Gemara discusses? Or is that the Gemara's discussion that an Eid Zoymim becomes a possible Eid strictly limited to oral Eidus? So again, Eid Zoymim, who becomes a disqualified Eid, the question is from at what point does it become an Eid Zoymim? Because it's a very fundamental question. Let's say the Eidim came and said that their testimony on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, but they were only declared to be Eidim Zoymim on Rosh Chodesh Elul many months later. And in those intervening months, they might have been Eidim many times. And now we have a real issue. Are they considered Eidim Zoymim back from when they offered their original testimony? Because that's when they were obviously the liars. Or is it only for when they are declared and identified to be Eidim Zoymim? So we have a machlaikus, Abai Aimelim, a Freyhun of Sol, from the time that they said their untrue testimony, that is from when they become disqualified. V'ravam Mikan Ulubon of Sol. It's only from the exact time that they offered that testimony. It's only from the time that they were declared Eid Zoymim. Certainly everybody agrees that from the time that they say that the event occurred, that date is a meaningless date. The only question is, do we follow the date when the testimony, which turns out to be a Zoymim testimony, was offered, or are they possible only from the point that they're identified and declared to be Eidim Zoymim? And the Gemara says, and the Gemara explains the opinions. Abai Amalam Afrehu Nivso, they're retroactively disqualified Edom. Because me in the Issid, from the time they said this false testimony, they're Rishayim. The Torah Amra, and the Torah teaches us, Atosis Yotchim Rasha, Atosis Rasha, people who are liars cannot be Edom. Rav, on the other hand, holds, Bikanel Abohu Nivsal. They only become Pasul Edom from the time that they are declared to be Edom Zaymim. Why? Explains Rava. Eid Zaymim Chiddushu. This entire concept of Edom Zaymim is a Chiddush. Why? Because my chaz is the Samcha Sahani, Snoicha Hani. Why do we believe the second pair more than we believe the first pair? And as Tosfos says, it's to the degree that the second pair is completely believed and they remain kosher Edom, and the first pair is completely disqualified. It should at least be maybe a tray. It should be a standstill. No! The first pair completely disqualified and the second pair completely believed. What is pshat? Because Edom Zomim is a chiddush. And ain by el mishas chiddush of eilich, and therefore only from the time that they declare to be Edom Zomim, that's when they become disqualified, not before. And the Rishayim tried to explain, according to this, on this explanation of the Gemara, what is the machlokes v'Abaye v'Rava. The simplest explanation I saw is that Abaye doesn't accept the concept of Ein by El Mishas Chedusha v'Eilich. Abaye says, what is Pshat Ein by El Mishas Chedusha v'Eilich? That's one way of learning it. Another way of learning it, a similar way of understanding the machlokes Abaye v'Rava, is that Abaye says that included in the chiddush of the Torah about Edom Zomim, included in that chiddush is that an Ed Zomim becomes possible from when he offered the testimony. But then there's another explanation which the Lech Mishnah suggests based on the Torah. Our Gemara is saying that Edom Zomim is a chiddush, as I explained. The Torah, however, suggests that Edom Zomim, this entire concept of Edom Zomim, is not a chiddush. Why? The Torah says as follows. We have the first two pair of Edom that come, the first pair of Edom that come and say whatever happened, whatever time, in whatever place. The second pair comes and says, Imanohu Yisam. Now when the first pair are going to try to defend themselves, so let's think about this scenario. The second pair have no personal interest in their testimony. They're just saying, the first pair that said something are not saying the truth, because Imanu he Yisam. The first pair, now when they defend themselves, are defending their honor. They're defending their position that they didn't lie. The Negei B'davar, we've learned that a Negei B'Edus is possible Edus. And therefore, according to the Torah's explanation, there is no Chiddush in Eid Zomim. And therefore, what Rava says, that the reason Edom Zomim only become possible from the moment that they declared Edom Zomim, because it's a Chiddush, according to Abaye, it is no Chiddush. Ikadamri, another version of explaining the Machloikas of Rava and Abaye, Rava Namika Abaye Sfirlai. Rava does agree with Abaye. So if Rava agrees with Abaye, why don't they become possible retroactively from when they said the testimony? Umatam Kamar Mikan al Haba. Why does Rava say they only become possible from when they were declared Edom Zomim? A whole new concern. The concern is as follows. We have these two people, Reuven and Shimon, that said testimony on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. We don't know that they did anything wrong. And now I, innocently, buy a piece of property, and I buy this piece of property, and they sign, and I need Edom, of course, on the document. And I ask Reuven and Shimon, could you please be my Edom? Not having any reason to suspect that they're anything but upright citizens. And then, months later, Rosh Chodesh Elul, turns out that they were Edom Zomim. So why should I be hurt? I didn't do anything wrong. And that's why Rava says there's a special rule that they only become possible from when they were declared to be Edom Zomim. So the Mefarshim asked the obvious question. We're worried about the Lekuchis. Why are we not worried about the Meicher? We're concerned that I bought the property and I took them as Edom. And now it turns out that the entire document I'm holding is a meaningless document that we're going to say that they become possible retroactively. And for the Meicher, it is good that it should become a disqualified document. So why are we more concerned about the Lekuchas than we are about the Meicher? So Mefarshim answer, obviously, the Lekuchas are the ones that spent the money. The Lekuchas are the ones that are holding the shtar. The Lekuchas are the ones that are holding the property. So they're the Muchzakim. Therefore, they're the ones that the Halacha is more concerned about than the Meicher. Ask the Gemara, my Benayu. We gave two explanations in the Machloikus of Abaye Verova. Now the Gemara wants to know, what is the practical nafkamina? So actually, the Rishayim say, there may be a practical nafkamina, an obvious practical nafkamina. Because if we say that the entire concern is the Lekuchas, so it's only in a situation where it's a document of sale, but if it will be any other type of document, so there won't be a concern of Lekuchas. And therefore, Rava could agree with Abaye that they become disqualified retroactively. So why doesn't the Gemara doesn't give that nafkamina. Why doesn't the Gemara give that obvious nafkamina? So there's a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say, indeed, the Gemara could have given that obvious nafkamina. But that nafkamina has nothing to do in a situation of a sale. The Gemara wanted to give a nafkamina even in a situation of sale. That's one approach. Another approach is, once Chazal were concerned about Lekuchas, true, the reason Rava says Chazal made their rule that Edom Zomim become possible from when they were declared to be Edom Zomim is because of the Lekuchas type of document. But once Chazal said it by a Lekuchas type of document, it applies to all documents. And therefore, it even applies to non-Lekuchas types of document. And that's why the Gemara has to look for another Nafkamina. And ask the Gemara, indeed, my Benayu, Ik Benayu, says the Gemara, the Nafkamina is in such a situation. The Sidu Betrei Bechad. This is the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara. Tosfos explains the Gemara this way. Again, as I said, the first two Edim came on Rosh Chodesh Nissan and said testimony. Now the second pair come and say that Imanu Hu Yisim. But what happened here isn't that two people came. The first two said testimony, and the second two said Imanu Hu Yisim. Rather, what happened here was that you had the two first people were Reuven and Shimon. Two people said on Reuven, and two people said on Shimon. So Taisa says, what's the difference if you have four? In Halacha, two Edim, Trei Kameya. So what's the difference if you have four against two, or you have two against two? So Taisa says, we have to listen to Taisa carefully. Taisa says, what happened here is that the first two Edim, Reuven and Shimon, that came to say Edis, happened to be saying testimony on the same event, but they have no connection to each other. Reuven said something, and Shimon said something. And now two people spoke about Reuven, and two people spoke about Shimon. So we have a situation of two against one, and two against one. So now it's not a chiddush that the second pair are believed. So if the first shot in the machlokes of Abaye v'Rava, that Rava's explanation was based on Eid Zimmerman being a chiddush, Eid Zimmerman is no longer a chiddush. The second explanation has nothing to do with Chiddush, and Rava's opinion would remain the same. Inami, another nafkamina, the Peslin v'Gazlanusa. It's not that the second pair said that they Imanu Hu Yisim. The second pair said you can't be Edim because you're disqualified. You're Gazlanim. That is not a Chiddush. So if the issue is Chiddush, if the reason for Rava is Chiddush, this is not a Chiddush, and Rava will agree with Abaye. If, however, the reason of Rava is based that he's concerned about the Lekuchas, so in this situation he's also concerned about the Lekuchas. Continues the Gemara, Vamar of Yimri Midifti, of Rapapa of the Kavasei the Rava. Rapapa paskin like Rava. However, Mabar of Ashi Amar, Hilchas the Kavasei the Abaye, the Halacha follows the opinion of Abaye, and says the Gemara, Hilchas the Kavasei the Abaye, the Halacha is like Abaye, that means normally throughout Shas, when we have Machlokes Abaye the Rava, we follow the opinion of Rava, except for six situations, Yal Kagam, and the Ayin of Yal Kagam means Edom Zomim. That in this situation, we follow the opinion of Abaye, not Rava. Just to quickly summarize what Yal Kagam is. Yod is Yish Lomidas, Gemara Masechta B'Metzia. Ayin is Edom Zomim, what we learned now. Lamed is Gemara Masechta Ervin, which is Kedushin, She'en and Mesurim Labiyah, if it's Kedushin or not. Gimel, is Gilui Das Begitten, and Mem is the next Gemara about a Mumer. And we start a new question. Mumer Eichel Nevel Sloteavet. If we have Rechman Tzlan, a person that eats non-kosher meat, because L'Teyovin. So Pashup Shal L'Teyovin is because non-kosher meat is cheaper than kosher meat. So says the Gemara Devei HaKol. Everybody will agree that such a person is Puzzle Aid. Why? Because obviously this person cares about money. And he'd rather spend less money to buy the non-kosher meat. And therefore we have to be concerned that he's going to lie for money also. So he's certainly, everybody agrees, a disqualified aid. But now I saw the Rishonim ask a very simple question. You could have another situation that the Gemara doesn't discuss of Mumer L'Teyovin. Not every type of meat is available kosher. He wants to eat pork, Rachman L'Tzlan. He's L'Teyovin. He just wants to taste the pork. But it's not because it's cheaper. You can't get kosher pork. So he's certainly a Mumer L'Teyovin. Will it be possible or not? Some Rishonim say, of course not. Because it has nothing to do with money. This that he's eating the pork. Others say no. A person who can't control himself, he has to have everything. And he can't say, you know what? I'm a Jew and I can't have every food. Is a person that also won't be able to withstand that if he'll be offered to lie and be paid to lie, a lie. And therefore, any Mumer L'Teyovin, everybody will agree is possible. But then you have another type of Mumer. The Rechman Tzlan, a Mumer L'Hachas. He just doesn't care about Torah. Is he possible or not? Abaye, I'm a possible. Abaye says that he's a disqualified aid. Rav, I'm a kosher. And the Gemara explains itself. Abaye, I'm a possible. Abaye says that he's possible because he's a Rasha. He's eating non-kosher meat. Rechmana, Oma, a Toshis Rasha aid. Somebody who's a Rasha cannot be an aid. Rav, on the other hand, says kosher. Because according to Rav, what type of individual is possible? Rasha the Chavos bin. It has to be involving monetary situation. This has nothing to do with money. Of course, the Yad Ramah points out that even according to Rava, if you have a person who's a real Rasha, and we'll see how the Yad Ramah works with our Gemara, he's a murderer, Rachman al-Tzlan. So he's not a Rasha the Chavos, but he's certainly going to be Apostle 8. We're talking about when it's not that type of a serious Aveira. According to Rasha, just because he did the Aveira, doesn't make him Apostle 8. Ask the Chazon Ish, but this person's a Mumer. And a Mumer, the Gemara says, Meridin v'loy ma'alin. We don't have to save him if he's in danger. So such a person, is there a question, should be a kosher aid? So I saw two answers from the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says, just because somebody ate meat, non-kosher meat, Rachman l'tzlon, l'hachis, so he ate it once, he fell in, doesn't make him into a Mumer, that he should be considered totally excluded from the community. That's one teretz. He said, it seems for the Chazon Ish three times. That's one teretz the Chazon Ish says. Another teretz the Chazon Ish says, interesting teretz. He says, absolutely, the Gemara says in a number of places that a Mumer Marid V'loy Malin. Marid V'loy Malin doesn't mean he's not a Jew and that he's automatically disqualified for being an aid. So now we have a very fundamental machloikis of Abaye V'Rava. If a person who's a Rasha, he does Averis, but not involving financial issues. Is he Apostle Aid or not? Abaye says yes, and Rava says no. But now we have an interesting question. What would be if he does Averis, but not Doraisis? He's over the Rabbotans. What will be Abaye's opinion? So some say, he's a Rasha. He's doing Averis. Other Rishonim say no. An Averis, an Averis Doraisis, not an Averis Rabbotan. There's a very interesting tzais. The tzais has a very interesting approach to this question. The tzais says as follows. He says, if he's a Rasha in non-financial issues, he does Averis. So there, only if he's over the Raisis. If he's over the Rabbonin, not that it's such a good thing, you can't call him a Rasha that he should automatically be disqualified from being an aid. On the other hand, says the tzais, if he's over the Rabbonins in financial issues, even though it's only a Rabbonin, he'll be Apostle Aid. Why? Because somebody who's over the issue of finances, even if it's only a Rabbonin, is a person that we see, says the Tzoyz, the money is so important to him. So it doesn't make a difference if money is important to him by the Rais or the Rabbanan. We're concerned that he's going to lie for money. And therefore it makes the choice the distinction that if he's doing an Aveir by Mominus, the halacha will be that he's a Pasulayd. If he's doing, even if it's only the Rabbanan, if he's doing another Aveira, non-Mominus, and it's only the Rabbanan, he won't be automatically a Pasulayd. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, the Pasuk says, Atoshis Rosh 8, Atoshis Chomis 8, Elu Gazlonim, Umayla Abishvus. What are examples of people who are disqualified from being Eidus, people who are Gazlonim, and people who make false Shvus? Now, when we speak about Shvus, my love, Echad Shvus Mammon, Shvus Shav, Vechad Shvus Mammon. Shvus Mammon is that he swears falsely in a financial situation. What is a Shvus Shav? There are actually two examples of Shvus Shav. One example of Shvus Shav, if somebody, we have a wood table, and somebody comes and makes a Shvus that this is a wood table. It's a meaningless Shvus. It's obviously a wood table. Another example of a Shvus Shav is if this table is a wood table, and somebody makes a Shvus that it's made out of gold. It's a patently false Shvus. And the Gemara is saying, that makes you a Pasulayd. Now that has nothing to do with Mammon. So isn't this Braisa a Raya to a Baya? That you don't have to have a Mammon digger situation to be a Pasulayd. Says the Gemara, Loi. The way to understand the Braisa is it's speaking only about Edi Shvus Mammon. Or my Shvus. What does the Braisa mean when it uses the plural word Shvus? It means Shvus to Alma. All types of Shvus Mammon. Two ways of explaining the Rishonim give. One way of explaining is that all the different people in the world who make shvus in financial dintaris, one way of explaining. Another way of explaining is there are very many different types of financial shvus. There's a shvus by Rechod, there's shvus HaShomrim, there's shvus by Nezikin, different shvus that we've learned. Ask the Gemara another question. Basically, the Braisa says, Atosus Rosh Eid, Atosus Chomis Eid, Elu Gazlonim, or Malvi Baribius. So all the examples the Braises give are all examples of financial situations. To Yufta Dabaya. So isn't this a refutation of a Baya that says even if it's a non-financial issue, you're apostle aid? Says the Gemara, indeed, to Yufta. A Baya is refuted. Says the Gemara, name it Tanoi, perhaps the Machloikis of a Baya of a Rava is actually a Machloikis Tanoim. It says in a Braisa, Eid Zoymim, Posel Cholakar Kula. If somebody is declared to be an Eid Zoymim, he becomes Posel for all situations. Divre Meir. Rav Yossi Aymer, Bemedvar Amurim, Shehuzam, Bedinian Nefashis. That if he became Eid Zoymim in a capital case, then he becomes disqualified from ever being an Eid. Aval Huzam Bedinian Mamas. If he was Muslim in a financial situation, he still could be kosher, he could still be a kosher aid, Ladin and Nefashis. So the Gemara suggests, name a bike Rameya, coin to Rameya, as soon as this person did something wrong, as soon as he became an aid Zoymim, he's forever disqualified from being an aid, at least until he does tshuva. Rav Yossi, Rava, that doesn't automatically disqualify him, will hold like Rav Yossi. Abaya, in the Gemara explains, Rameya, will hold Amina Mekul Chumra. Even if he did a lesser Aveira, makes no difference. He is now a Rasha, and he's disqualified from being an aid. For Rava, on the other hand, Dama Kreb Yossi, Dama, Mechumra, if he did a serious Aveira, he was a murderer, Lekulaminim. That means that he can't be an aid in a lesser sin. However, Mekula, if he did a lesser sin, doesn't make him into such a bad person that in a more sensitive, complicated, critical situation, Mekula Chumra, Loyaminim. So isn't the machlokes of Meir Rabbi Yosi, the machlokes of Bayev Rava actually the machlokes of Meir Rabbi Yosi? Says the Maran Dot. I read Rabbi Yosi Kula Amalai Plihi. Absolutely, there is no way, says the Gemara, to understand Abaye and Rabbi Yosi. Abaye cannot hold like Rabbi Yosi. However, keep Plihi to leave the Rameya. Abaye holds like Rameya. That if you did an Aveira, you're apostolate. The Rava says, I could justify my opinion together with Rameya's opinion. Because at Kan Lekum Rameya Hossam El Gabe Eid Zoymim. Where do Rameya say that if somebody becomes possible in one situation, that completely disqualifies him? That's in a situation of Eid Zoymim the Mammon. When somebody is an Eid Zayman in a financial situation, his Aveira is a double Aveira. He's Ra'al HaShemayim, Ra'al HaBrayis. Let's understand it. He's Ra'al HaShemayim. He said a lie. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know how to say a lie. Le'sada Barecha Eid Shakar. He also did something bad to his friend that he would testify falsely. And therefore, since he was Ra'al HaShemayim, Ra'al HaBrayis, that disqualifies him for all situations. Aval Hocha, in a situation where he did an Aveira, which is only Ra'al HaShemayim, what is the example? He's a mumah to eat non-kosher meat lahachas. Terrible, terrible aveira. But it's only ben adam lamakam. When somebody eats non-kosher meat lahachas, doesn't hurt his friend. That's ralish mayim vein ralabrius. There, Rava says, that's not considered such a significant sin that we should declare that this person is completely disqualified from ever being an aid. However, says the Gemara, the halacha is like a baya. Ask the Gemara, Vaitosif, wasn't he refuted? Ask the Gemara, Vitehe, Reb Yosihi. Says the Gemara, that brisa, that we asked a question that says that somebody that only gave financial examples of a apostle aid follows the opinion of Reb Yosi. But Rabbi, as we just explained, follows the opinion of Rameya. Ask the Gemara. Fine. Rava holds like Rabbi Yossi. Abaya holds like Rameya. But don't we have a klal in Shas that the heavy name of Rabbi Yossi? Yes, that brisa reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. And as we explained a moment ago, Abaya certainly doesn't agree with Rabbi Yossi. But don't we have a rule throughout Shas, the Rameya of Rabbi Yossi, that when you have a dispute between Rameya and Rabbi Yossi, halach Rabbi Yossi? So if Abaya can't justify his opinion with Rabbi Yossi, that should automatically discredit his opinion. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hossam, the Sosan Lantanik Rameya. Which means as follows. The Gemara is saying a very important rule. The Gemara is saying, absolutely, when we have a machlok between Rameya and Rabbi Yossi, we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Unless there's a Stam Mishnah like Rameya. If there's a Stam Mishnah like Rameya, that supersedes that rule, and there we follow the opinion of Rameya. And since we said that Abaya does justify his opinion with Rameya, so therefore Abaya's opinion could be correct. Yeah, that was the Mem. Ask the Gemara, Mem stands for Mumer. Ask the Gemara, the Heches saw someone, where do we find a Stam Mishnah like Rameya? Says the Gemara, Keho. The Bachama Kotel Nafshe. Bachama killed somebody. I want you to go examine the situation. If he killed somebody, his eyes should be pulled out. Very big and important machloikas. What does that mean? One said, Rashi gives two pshatim. One pshat is, if he indeed is a murderer, his eyes should be poked out. Another pshat Rashi says is, that his eyes should be poked out, but he should have to pay restitution to the family of the victim. Now, as Taran, we're going to learn later in our Masechta, that by the time this story happened, Dinei Mamnas, there were no more, Dinei Nefashas, Bezdin was no longer dealing with capital offenses. So how could he say, according to the Pshat, that his eyes should be poked out? Bezdin wasn't doing this anymore. So the Ran answers, Reish Galusa that told him to do this didn't give, Reish Galusa's authority wasn't based on Bezdin, because Bezdin no longer has the ability to deal with capital offenses. Their authority came from the government. The government does have the authority, and therefore he could carry it out with that authority. So again, Puk Ayimba, I want you to go examine the situation. Ivad Kotel, if he murdered somebody, his eyes should be poked out. Also, Trey Sadi, two witnesses came. A seed by the Vadikotel, that he killed somebody. Ozel Iyu, so Barchama went. I said Trey Sadi, and he brought two witnesses. A seed by Bechad Mahanach, that said testimony regarding these two witnesses. Chanama, one pair of Adam said, Kamei the Di, Gon of Kabad Chushla. In front of me, he stole barley. The Charami, I'm a Kalmei Didi, in front of me, Gonav kata deburtia. He stole a spear. And therefore, now that they are accused of being individuals who are ganovim, they're completely disqualified from saying any edim, from saying any edus. But before we go further, there's a very fundamental question. The two witnesses that were saying testimony about these individuals weren't saying the same thing. One said he stole a spear and one said he stole barley. So how could they combine? So the Rishonim answer that if the two Edim are saying testimonies, Machlokes Rishonim, how to learn the Gemara. Some Rishonim, most Rishonim learn, if the two Edim are saying testimony that is essentially the same, what are they saying? That he's a ganav. Even though the testimony is not identical, one speaking about a spear and one speaking about barley, it's enough to combine it. Some Rishonim take even a more lenient position, and they say if the two Edim say that this person does Averis, even though it's different Averis, totally different Averis, here the Averis are essentially the same. It's Geneva, it's enough that it could be combined. I'm like, my Daitach, Kremeya. You're following the opinion of Rameya, and since they're choshed for this issue that they're ganovim, they're completely disqualified. So he asked them, don't we have a rule as we quoted on Rambam Aleph, the Ramei v'Rabbi Yossi, we have a debate between Ramei v'Rabbi Yossi, the Lachos k'Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, who's on Medina Mominus? Just because they are lawyers and do the wrong thing in financial situations, kosher Medina Nefashis. So here, even though they are ganovim, that shouldn't make them disqualified from saying testimony about a capital case. Amalei Rapapa. So Rapapa said, Hani Mili, where do we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi? Hechad loy sosalam tanuk Rameya. Where we don't have a Mishnah that is a Stam Mishnah like Rameya. However, Hocha, Soslam Tanak Rameya. So that's why I'm going to follow the opinion of Rameya. But we still haven't found a Mishnah. Mimai, which Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah like the opinion of Rameya? Ilay Mahadatanan, if you're going to want to say the following Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol HaRoy Lodin Dina Nefashis, whoever could be a Dayan for Dina Nefashis, Roy Lodin Dina Mamnis. Could also be a Dayan for Dina Mamnis. Mani. Whose opinion does that Mishnah reflect? Ilam Rabbi Yossi, if we want to say it follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, it's not true. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, Ika Eid Zalman the Mamn, that according to Rabbi Yossi, he's still kosher for Dina Nefashis. Because Rabbi Yossi says, Choshed Ledovit Kal, is not Choshel Dava Chomer, and therefore, if he's an Eid Zavim Mammon, he's still Choshel Dina Nefashis. But he will be Choshel Dina Mammonis. El Lav, it's reflecting the opinion of Rameya. So we just found a Stam Mishnah that's Rameya that says as soon as he's Choshel for one, he's Choshel for anything. Says the Mermai. That does not necessarily true. There will be Psule Yuchsen Koi. Maybe that Mishnah is speaking about a person whose his issue is that he's not miyuchis, that he could say edus. Dilei teimahochi, and I'll prove to you that that's the subject of the Mishnah. Sefer Diktani, the Sefer says, yesh roi lodin dinim mamnis. There are individuals that can be dayanim and edim by dinim mamnis, vein roi lodinim nefashis. Mai, and a roi. What's the individual that can't be a roi lodinim nefashis? That's a medinim nefashis. That doesn't make sense. If somebody was itzim b'din nefashis, we learned on Amun Aleph that somebody who does a dava chomer becomes possible for a dava kal. So how could this person be kosher? V'ha dovei hakol pesel hu ella. It means it's talking about psul yachsin, and he's a psul yachsin that he can't say edus for nefashis, but he's not that disqualified that he can't say for mamnis. Achinami b'psul yachsin kai. So that Mishnah is talking about Psul Yochsin. It has nothing to do with Machlokes Rameya Rabbi Yossi. So we're back to where we started. The only reason we're saying that we're going to pass on like Abaya, because Abaya follows the opinion of Rameya, and we have a Stam Mishnah like Rameya, yet we haven't found that Stam Mishnah. That says the Marachokas of someone. This is the Mishnah. The Tanan, Ela, we learned the Mishnah, Ela and Masakim Psulim, Hamasach the Klivyot, Mava Beribis, Mafricha Yoinim, the Sechre Shvius, Vavodim. Zaklal.
And the Mishnah ended off. Kol edus she'ein ishik k'sheru lo. Any edus that a woman can't say, af hein k'sheru lo. Ask the Ramani. Ilei merab yoisi, vika edus pedida nefashis. What about capital cases? That according to Rav Yossi, all of these people, that the problem with all of these individuals is that they're ganovim, she'ein ishik k'sheru lo, v'hein k'sheru lo. El olav, who is the Tanya Mishnah? Rameya. So you see that the opinion of Rameya is, we have a Stam Mishnah like Rameya, that as soon as somebody is disqualified for one in one area, he becomes completely disqualified. Says the Gemara, Kam Bar Chama, when Bar Chama heard this wonderful explanation of Bar Papi, Nashke Akari, he kissed the feet of Bar Papi, the Kibbul Kagi the Kulishari, and he exempted him from paying tax from the entire year. So the Rishonim discuss, isn't this Shaychat? Isn't this taking a bribery that he exempted him? That Bar Papi paskened in his favor. Bar Chama got Bar Papi to pasken in his favor, and now he's giving him a bribe that he doesn't have to pay tax. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that he didn't, that Bar Papi really wasn't a dayan in this case. He was just a spectator. He was a Talmud Chacham watching the case. But he saw what was going on, and he said his opinion, which was ultimately accepted. So where is there a problem of bribery? The problem of bribery only exists by a dayan. Bar Papi wasn't a dayan in this case. One pshat. Another pshat is as follows. The Gemara says many places that dayonim, rabbonim, talmid chachamim, are really exempt from paying taxes. So Bar Papi really shouldn't have to pay taxes. But sometimes you need a connection to get what you deserve. So all the years Bar Papi was paying taxes improperly. He shouldn't have had to pay taxes. Now he was able to get, Bar Chama had the proper connections to get Bar Papi what he really deserved, that he shouldn't have to pay taxes. So Bar Papi didn't get anything extra. He only got what he deserved, and that's why it's not considered a bribe. Says the Mishnah. Ve'elein ha'krovim, and we're going to spend a lot of time in the coming Gemaras explaining this Mishnah. Ve'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Ve'elein ha'krovim, these are the people who are considered relatives who are disqualified from saying Eidus. Achiv, brother, v'chi aviv, his father's brothers, v'chi imai, his mother's brothers, u'bal ha'chosei, his brother-in-law, u'bal ha'chos aviv, his uncle, his father's sister's husband, u'bal ha'chos imai, his mother's sister's husband, another type of uncle, u'bal imai, his mother's husband, v'chamav, is his father-in-law, v'gisai, his brother-in-law, hein, u'bneim, and their children, v'chasneim, and their son-in-laws, v'chargoy levadai. A stepson, here we just learned that if I can't say Eidus for my son, I can't also say, son is a bad example, I'm just using my son, I can't say for my grandson, or vice versa. If I can't say for my nephew, I can't say for my great-nephew even. However, a stepson cannot say Eidus for a stepfather, or vice versa, but for a stepfather to say Eidus, for example, for a stepson's son, or a stepson's son saying Eidus for the stepfather, is mutter. Amar Rabbi Yossi, says Rabbi Yossi, Zu Mishnas Rabbi Kiva. This is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, the final opinion. Ava Mishnah Rishonai, according to the original version, Doidai uben Doidai, an uncle or a cousin, V'kol Aroi L'Yorshai. Only people who could be his Yorshim, apostle for Eidus. And the way the Rishonim explain, Rashi explains, because since these people could ultimately be my Yarshim, so if I'm going to have a Dintara, they're going to want me to win, because they look at any dollar that I earn as potentially being theirs. The Rishonim also debate. Sometimes, and we discussed this in the Masechta Bava Basra at great length, sometimes you can have a situation where a person could, I could Yarshim somebody else, but he could never Yarshim me. What would be the Halacha? Is the Halacha, as long as there's a concept of Yerusha on one side, these two people cannot say Eidus for each other? Or, is the Mishnah teaching us, only the person who could be the Yairish is possible. If somebody can yashin me, he can't say Eidus for me. But if I can't yashin for him, I could say Eidus for him. Another halacha. Hayakarv, if Karv loy ba'aisa shah, relatives have to be relatives at the time of testimony. And therefore, Hayakarv v'nishaka, if there was somebody who was my relative, and then he was married to a relative of mine, and my relative, Rahman Salam, passed away, and now we're no longer relatives, Hareza Kasha. Now we could say testimony for each other. Rabbi Yehuda says, a big chiddush. I feel a mesebita. Let's say you had a son-in-law, and the son-in-law was married to your daughter, and your daughter, Rahman Salam, passed away. So this is a case of karv nisrachik. However, if your daughter had children with this son-in-law, v'yesh lo bar memena, so even though your daughter is no longer alive, your son-in-law is still considered your karev. Says the Mishnah further, ha'oyev asayna, a friend or an enemy, ayev, who is a friend, zeshish binai, the Gemara will define this, sayne is considered an enemy, who is a sayne? They didn't speak to you 3 days because you can't get along. They're disqualified from being Adam. Amalei, so he said, like next to Yisrael. Klai Yisrael are too honest, and nobody is disqualified because of being friends and enemies. However, 2 points I want to make. One, the Mashal says that even though our Mishnah is saying that just because somebody didn't talk to you for 3 days because he was in a fight with you doesn't make him into your enemy. We're not so quick to call people enemies, says the Mashal, but sometimes people are really enemies. Not just 3 days, it's 3 years, and they really resent each other. Suggest the Mashal that everybody would agree that then they're possible to be Adam. Furthermore, and it's going to be, I think, almost explicit in the Gemara, when our Gemara speaks about Oyev Asayna, enemy or friend not saying testimony, that the Mishnah says that din is not true, it's only regarding Eidus. Because even though we don't get along or we get along very well, people are honest. And I'm not going to lie for my friend or for my enemy. However, Dayonis, to be a Dayan, requires being objective. And it's difficult to be objective when it comes to friends or enemies. And that the din the Mishnah speaks about, most Rishonim say, is only regarding Edom, not regarding Dayanim. Ask the Gemara, Menon Emili. From where do we know this halacha? Says the Tana Rabbanan, says in the Braisa, Lo yumsa uvas abonim. Ma tam aloyma. Im lalamet shlo yumsa uvas abonim. That if sons do avarice, the father shouldn't die. Or bonim bavoyin avos. Or children shouldn't die because of their father's sins. I don't need this pasuk. Reik Fanemet, there's another pasuk that says, Ish b'cheta yumsu. Ella, la yumsu uvas abonim, beidus bonim. Children cannot say testimony about their parents. Ubonim la yumsu al uvas, beidus uvas. Parents cannot say testimony about their children. Ubonim bavoin uvas loy. Ask the Gemara, is this indeed true that children are not punished because of the sins of the fathers? V'ksiv, paiket uvas abonim, avoid uvas abonim. Answer the Gemara, hasam, sh'oich simas avasayim b'yadeim. When do children get punished because of the errors of their parents? If they continue in the parents' bad ways. Ketanya, ba'af ba'avoyin avoysim itam yimoku. When will they be punished? Sh'oysim ma'as avasem yideim. When they follow their father's bad ways. At the oym k'sh'oychsin, oyen elo k'sh'enoychsin, k'sh'oym ish b'chet yomus, harek sh'oychsim ma'as avideim yideim. That they die for their own sins, if it's their own, but if they follow their father's ways, they die because of their father's sins. Ask the Gemara, v'loi v'ksiv ishlu v'kosh ish b'achiv, ish b'avayin achiv, so we see that you don't only die for your own sins. Says the Gemara, that's talking, emelamed shekul ma'reb mezel azeh, so you see that you don't only punish for your sins. And says the Gemara, there it's talking about a different concept. Hashem shay b'yadim limchos v'loi michu. So just to explain, if somebody does an Aveira, and another person could have stopped him from doing the Aveira, and he didn't stop him, he's punished because of the concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. Children if they follow their father's bad ways, then they're punished. Why? So Rishonim give a number of explanations. One explanation is because they obviously are not going to do tshuva. Why does a Kadosh Baruch Hu not give a punishment immediately to a person? Because he hopes he's going to do tshuva. But here you have a person who does an aveira. It's not only an aveira he did, but it's an aveira that his parents did. The chances of him doing tshuva are very slim. And that's why he's punished. Another pshat is, the father who did this aveira and his child who follows his path is causing his father to get punished again. Because now the father is not only punished for doing the aveira, but he's also being punished for causing future generations to do aveiras. So he causes his father to get punished. And on the other hand, if he does tshuva, so then his father, who maybe was a bala aveira, he'll cause that his father should have a kapara by him going on the right path. But if, and it's not, then it's a concept of ish b'chata yumas.